standing on the bathroom thinking he was trying to weigh less with this maneuver, she commented, "I don't think that's going to work." And then he said, "Sure it does. It's the only way I can see the numbers. It may hit closer to home for some than others." Another guy said, "Have you ever noticed that all of the instruments that are seeking intelligent life in the universe, whether it be telescopes, radio antennas, cameras, detectors, they're all pointed away from the Earth? You ever think about that?" Maybe, maybe not, maybe. I was told recently, since it's almost deer season, I was told by someone, said a pastor and one of his deacons went deer hunting one day. And they were walking along talking, and all of a sudden a big buck jumped up and started running, and they both, of course, just started shooting, and sure enough, he dropped. I mean, they dropped him. And they walked over to the deer, and they kind of looked at each other because there was a problem. Who got it? Because, I mean, it's a big buck. You know, somebody got to brag, and there can't be two people bragging. That'd be like having the same girlfriend. That don't work, you know. So what we're going to do here? So they were kind of arguing, and it just happened that a game warden kind of drove by, a guy that come fishing parks, fisheries and parks guy drove by, and he got out and said, "Guys, what's going on?" He noticed they were kind of arguing, and they said, "Listen, the deer jumped up, we shot it, and we can't figure out who killed it." And he said, "Well, let me go check it out. I'll see if I can figure it out." He walked over, looked at the deer, looked at it for a minute, came back and said, "Guys, the pastor shot that deer." And they said, "How do you know that?" He said, "Because the bullet went in one ear and out the other." So I hope that's not what all my sermons do this morning, especially. But we want to jump into God's Word this morning. 1 John chapter number 3, we're going to pick up reading in verse number 18, though I'm going to go back in a minute and talk about the ones prior to that. Verse 18, it says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." In verse 19, "And hereby we know," you'll see that phrase a lot in 1 John, "we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God." Verse 22, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this," verse 23, "is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." We've been in this book of 1 John for some time now. Last week, we talked about love and how important love was in the Christian life. And if you remember, I'm going to rehash quickly. If you remember the last couple of weeks, John has taken what we have called marks that will exist in the Christian's life. We've covered two of them very specifically. The first one was Christians, a true born-again man of God, woman of God who loves God. Christians have a hatred in their heart for sin. And by the way, that's the standard equipment, if you remember from last week. That's standard equipment that comes with every Christian's life. Now, that doesn't mean we live sinless lives. That doesn't mean we rise above sin and never have to deal with it, because John has taught us already. He said, "If any man say that he hath not sin, he's a liar." We all deal with sin and struggle with it. But the difference is, in a true believer's life, he hates it and don't want to do it. And that's not who he wants to be. A lost man, on the other hand, and by the way, this is what John's doing for us in 1 John. A lost man, on the other hand, a lost man loves his sin. He likes what he's doing. He wants to look for another opportunity to do that because he is controlled by and in love with his sin. Yet the Christian hates that. And though he may fall, a righteous man is going to get back up. Why? Because he hates what sin is and what sin does in his life. That was the first mark. Then he gave us the second one. Last week in the verses right before we read today, John told us that a true believer in Christ not only has inherited a hatred for sin, but he's also inherited a love for God. A love for God and a love for God's people, even more specifically. You see, when you come to Christ, the Bible says that, and we're getting into this soon, the Bible says that God comes and dwells within you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And when he does, he brings along with him the love of God. So why do Christians love each other? That's what John said we're supposed to do. It's because we have God living inside of us and the love of God working through us to cause us to love people, even people that are not so lovable. We love. Why? Because we're in Christ. Now, quickly, I want you to understand this before I go on. I thought about this morning when I was going back over all of my notes again. I want you to understand this. There's a couple purposes, I believe, here in John, in 1 John. First, he has given us these marks or these signs that will exist in your life because he wants you to be able to look and see, hey, am I really in the faith? In other words, am I really in the faith? Do I have a hatred of sin? Do I have a love for God and God's people? On and on and on. Am I really in the faith? And John's going to allow us to do that by looking at these things. But on the other side of that, the primary purpose of the book of 1 John, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, he says, I write these things unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. He says, I want you to know for certain that you truly have been born again. Now, why is that important? That's what we're going to talk about today. It's so important that you know, not that you think, not that you hope, but that you know. So important, God says here, as John writes, that you know. That's a recap. Now, let's talk about this verse where John says to us, verse number, chapter 3, verse number 20. Let's pick up in verse 19, though. He says, hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall, and if you write in your Bible and underline this phrase, assure our hearts before him. Verse 19, assure our hearts before him. Hereby, what is hereby talking about? He says, because of what we've just discovered and discussed, that love that exists in the heart of a true believer, because we know that's true, now you can say, do I have that in me? Now, you could ask yourself that right now as we sit here. You could look at a person next to you. I won't make you do that this morning. And you could say, is that in you? Because the truth is, John says, if that's in you, then that's going to bring you great confidence before God. Hey, if it's in you, it gives you confidence before God. I have a love for God and a love for Christians. That's in me, so thus now I have confidence in my relationship with God. That's important. We ought to want to know. You shouldn't exist as a person who just kind of hopes that they're saved. You shouldn't be that person because that's not who God designed us to be. He didn't set out to send his son into the world to die on a cross for our sins so that we could hopefully, in our hearts, hope that one day, maybe, we could be forgiven of our sins and go to heaven. That's not what God's design was in sending his son to this world. He wants us, John says, to know. And Brother Joel, he says here, he says, here's how you can know. It's because you see this in your life. Now, that could mean two things. Number one, it could mean if you don't see it, then you ain't got it. Amen? If you don't see it, then you ain't got it. Or number two, it could also mean if you know you got it, it could cause you to ask yourself the question, why don't I see more of it? And see, it serves both purposes as we approach this letter of 1 John, causing the person, first of all, to question, am I truly in the faith? And then secondly, then what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Now, he goes from there to this word, condemns. Let's talk about condemns. Verse number 19. Hereby we know that we are the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Now, here's another phrase. For if our hearts, here's another word you want to underline. For if our heart condemn us, the Bible says, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If our hearts, you need to underline there, condemn us, first of all, condemnation. What does John mean by that? Well, as he's writing here, he's just shared with us this necessity of having a love for God. From last week, we saw that the necessity of truly loving your brother in Christ, truly having a relationship, if you would, with God, that flows into your life. By the way, John Stott wrote this, it is by our loving others in truth that we know that we are of the truth. That's a good statement. He says, it's by this that you know that you're truly in the faith, by your love one for another. And then he says, if our hearts condemn us. Now, the word condemn here means that it's going, our hearts are convicting us or they're calling us into question. It's kind of like this. If you're with me, say, I'm with you. It's kind of like God gave every Christian a check engine light. Now, nobody likes it when the check engine light comes on. Real quick, if your check engine light is on in your car right now, raise your hand. Be honest. Okay, that's what I figured. 2008, they did a survey of like 2,000 and some odd people, and they were surprised to find out that 10% of the people that they talked to, their check engine light was on presently. And then they were even more surprised to find out that 50% of that 10% had had their check engine light on for over 3 months. In other words, they've been cruising around with the light on, just cruising. Now, here's what happens when the check engine light comes on. It's meant to tell you that there's something wrong, okay? Ladies, listen. That little thing, it looks like a motor. It comes up there right by the speedometer, and it turns orange or red, one or the other, and it comes on. When you see that, that means something's wrong. What does it mean? Thank y'all. So here's what you do. One of a few things. So number one, you say, oh, no, there's something wrong. I got to check this out or get this checked out. That's smart. What is that? What is that? Okay. Something wrong. We got to get this checked out. Number two, you could be like 50% of the 10% who they surveyed who just keep cruising, you know, with the check engine light on and say, ah, it'll be all right. I live by faith. You know, God's with me. We're all good in the hood, you know, and just keep cruising. And there's some who approach it that way. Or you could be like my Uncle Harold, who has passed away now. But years ago, I used to ride from Okolona to Pontotoc, Mississippi with him on Friday evenings to go hang out with his kids over the weekend. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And he had a little Mazda B2200, I think is what it said on the side of it. And I would get in the car with him, and I noticed he had a piece of Scotch tape across his instrument panel with a big piece of cardboard on it. I said, Uncle Harold, why you got cardboard taped on your instrument panel or on your speedometer? And he said, because the check engine light's on. I got tired of seeing it, so I just covered it up, you know. So you could do that as well, for sure. But I'm going to tell you, that ain't so smart, okay? Just so you know, that's not so smart. God says to us here, and I believe this is the proper interpretation here, He says, if our hearts condemn us. I believe that's like saying, in my terms, that your spiritual check engine light came on in your life. In other words, you're riding along, cruising along. You know, you may be picking up kids from school. You may be going to work. You may be going fishing. Amen. Something, you know, good. Whatever it was. You're cruising along, and all of a sudden, the check engine light of life comes on. And John says, when that happens, it ought to catch your attention and cause you to say, what's wrong? We got to do something about this. He said, if your hearts condemn you. Why would he say that? Because as we study God's word and we study the theological ramifications of salvation, I won't say many words like that because I know that's confusing. But when we study what happens in an individual's life when they truly get born again and Christ comes in their life, we realize a few things Scripture teaches us. First, it teaches us that when a person truly believes and their faith is in Christ, that God removes from them the penalty of sin. That's taught throughout Scripture, and if you get in your Bible, you'll find that. God removes the penalty of sin. In other words, there is now no condemnation to them that are in who? Christ Jesus. The Bible says that clearly. There's no question mark there. That is an absolute statement. When you're in Christ by faith, there is no condemnation for you. You're freed from the penalty of sin. If you got that, say, I got it. Well, as you study on, you notice also the Apostle Paul says to us, not only are we freed from the penalty of sin before God, but Christ also showed us that we're freed from the power of sin. Paul helped us understand that by exclaiming to us, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. He says, I don't want to do this, but yet I do it. And I don't have to do it, but I do. And then he says, I have to learn, and I'm putting a lot of his statements together here, I have to learn to die daily because ultimately I don't want to be the person that my flesh wants me to be. So we understand not only are we freed from the penalty of sin, God's not going to judge me for the sin I committed in my past because I'm saved, I've been forgiven. But I'm also freed from the power of sin, and that now in my life presently, right now where you are, say right here, right here, where you're sitting right now, where I'm standing, we have the freedom given to us by Christ to live above whatever the sin is that kind of tries to wreck our lives and destroy our bodies and destroy our minds and destroy our homes. We have been freed from that sin, and if we choose to look to Christ and depend upon the Spirit of God working in our lives, we can overcome that sin, because it no longer, death, hell, and the grave were defeated by Christ when he arose, and it no longer has power over my life. I can live above it if I choose to. The penalty of sin has been removed when you're forgiven. God's not going to judge you for sins of your past. The power of sin has been removed from your life. You don't have to live under it anymore. But then we also discover, in some of these same passages, that we still, though, live in the presence of sin. Now, if you got it, say, I got it. I'm trying to help you understand something very important this morning. We still live in the presence of sin. Number one, we still have a fleshly body and a heart that's going to do wrong. That's why John said, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. That's why he made that statement, by the way, because everybody sins. Kind of comes in two forms. One is just because of yourself, your flesh. And you know what? Inside of every single last one of us, if I'm a believer in Christ, inside of every one of us, there is a heart. Paul describes it as a flesh. There is a heart, there is a nature inside of me that wants to do that which is wrong. It desires wrong things. It wants to take good things God made, whether it be sex and marriage, whether it be ownership of things, whether it be leadership, authority, whatever it is. The Bible says that those good things God made, this flesh inside of us, this sin inside of us, a sin nature, causes us to take the good things God made and make them into bad things. And by the way, all that just happened inside of you. Nobody else had to do anything. The devil didn't even have to report to work that day. And all of that happened. James puts it this way. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed in the book of James chapter 1. He says, it happens from inside of you. The devil wasn't even there. And it happened. But then there's a second aspect of this as well. Not only that flesh that we live in, but then there's the devil and the world that he controls, that we have to live in and deal with on a daily basis. And he's out to get you. Let me say this again. He's out to get you. He wants to destroy you. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his calling in life, and I promise you, that's what he's trying to do to your life. He wants to get you. We live in the flesh, and because of that, we live in the presence of sin. This is the world that the devil's in control of under God's allowance. And again, I can't explain all of that. But the devil's in control of this world, the wickedness of this world. And it's constantly battling against the Christian's righteous life that he can live in Christ. We live in the presence of sin. Now, saying all of that, God built into all of us a check engine light. And when we sin, or when we... In this specific circumstance, in this passage of Scripture, when I don't love my brother, instead I told him off. I chewed him out. Or I told gossip about him. Or I told him I wish he was dead. Or I just snubbed him and walked past him and didn't speak to him intentionally. Or I told people bad stories about him. Whatever it was. When I've treated my brother that way, if I'm in the faith, John says, here's what's going to happen. Your heart will condemn you. Now, that word, condemn, we use the word in our day to help us understand that. We use the word convict. Conviction is something happened inside of me that I can't see and I can't explain, but I feel really bad about something that I've done. Your heart, he says, will condemn you. God built into every one of us a conscience. And then when we get saved and come to Christ, he also comes in and lives inside of us. God, the Spirit, lives in us, and he's there present as well. So the condemnation comes through our conscience in relation to the presence of God in our lives when we do the wrong thing. He condemns us. And then the verse goes on to say, if our hearts condemn us, the next part is, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Now, we got to understand this, because he's getting to the good stuff here in just a moment. If our heart condemns us, which by the way it should, and you're supposed to, if you go and tell a lie as a Christian, you're supposed to feel pretty crummy about that. If you sit and have lustful thoughts in your mind all day long, you ought to feel pretty horrible about that as a Christian. If you're a thief, you should feel conviction in your heart and life. If you don't love your brother, you should be under conviction. If you don't hate sin, and by the way, we can go through every one of John's points he makes. If that's not who you are and that's not how you live, then there's something wrong in your life. Why? Because this Christian has the Spirit of God living inside of him. He has a conscience that God is working to reshape so that it thinks like God thinks. And those things inside of us are going to condemn us when we do the wrong thing. And then he adds to that. If you're with me, say, I'm with you. He adds to that God is greater than our hearts and he knows all things. Now let's think for a moment. If your seared conscience, which is, by the way, somewhat corrupt because of the sin nature that you have. If your seared conscience convicts you of sin, then here's the thought. What do you think God thinks about it? Because he knows all things. He knows what the goal is. It's Christ's likeness. He knows what he's called you to be. He's called you to be like unto him. And he knows every thought, every action, everything that we do, he's fully aware of. He says, God knows all things, but thank God, listen to this, he is greater than our hearts. The picture there, I believe, is this. God can deal with your heart and bring you to the place through his grace and his forgiveness to where he frees you from that condemnation that even your own conscience places upon you. In other words, when I sin, God makes it so that I can be made fresh and new again. 1 John 1:9, we've already covered it, but I want to go back for just a moment. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then listen to this last phrase, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As a Christian, when I sin, I can come to my God, though my conscience is going to condemn me, and though inside I'm going to feel guilty, I'm going to feel crummy. He says, God is able to forgive us when we confess our sins, and then he's able to cleanse us. I don't know if you ever had the wonderful opportunity of getting in trouble in school and having to clean the chalkboard. Anybody else here? Any witnesses here? Anybody going to be honest? Yeah, I did. I cleaned the chalkboard a lot. If there's a cancer that's caused by chalkboard dust, I probably got it. Okay, just so you know. But you go up there and the teacher's been working all day and writing on that board, erasing. She's got white powder everywhere and there's still stuff on there. And man, you can get that sponge and stick it in there. It was pretty cool, actually, just so you know. You get that sponge, stick it in the water, squeeze it out, and you just go, and it's like brand new. When it's good and wet, it looks like a brand new green chalkboard. Now, after it dries, that's debatable. But at that moment, it looks so clean and pretty. That's the idea. When I, as a Christian, confess my sin, God is going to forgive me. And he's not just going to say, okay, I'm not going to hold the penalty of that against you. But he goes beyond that and he says, I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to cleanse your heart so that that's not present in your life anymore. I'm going to wash that away. I'm going to clean it off like Tim when he got in trouble in junior high school and he had to clean the board during recess. I'm going to wipe it clean, wipe the slate clean, so that that sin is now removed from your record of your life and removed from your heart and removed from your hand. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If our heart condemns us, God's greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. You're not going to fool him. Don't be like my Uncle Harold and put the cardboard on the dashboard, you know, and tape it on there, because that don't work. You can harden your conscience. Do you know that? And by the way, parents, that's why it's so important to be careful, more careful even than I am. That's why it's so important to be careful what you do with your kids, what you let your kids do, play, watch, because those things that they take in have the ability to harden their conscience towards reality. They can begin to think death is not a big deal. They can think shooting somebody is not a big deal. Why? Because they can be hardened by the things that their hands do and the things that they see. Or if you watch things on TV that are wicked and ungodly and constantly filling your minds with crime shows and things of that nature. By the way, I'm talking to myself as well. If we take too much of that in, we can harden our conscience towards reality of what God hates, and we can become those who accept it. We got to be careful. We got to be careful. You can harden your conscience. But if you put that cardboard over that check engine light and allow your conscience to be hardened, that is going to stifle your relationship with your God. It's going to stifle. Yeah, you probably can come to the place where it don't bother you to talk like that as a Christian. You can probably come to the place where you don't feel so crummy any longer when you tell a lie or gossip or steal or you take your pick. You can come to the place where it don't bother you so much, but I'm going to tell you something. All you just did is took a piece of cardboard, taped it onto the instrument panel so you don't see the check engine light, but guess what? It's still blinking. It's still blinking. And there's still something wrong. Condemnation. And then John goes on to say, look back to God's word if you would. Verse 21. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Confidence is the word we want to look at here. So, condemnation, confidence, opposites. The word confident here is a very interesting Greek word. It's made by two words that are put together. One has the idea of speaking or speech. The other one has the idea of free or freedom. So if you put the two together in our terms, we would say this word means free speech. That's what the idea is. Not like people are running around and rioting or holding up signs and picketing. That's not what it's talking about. But instead, the idea was, and it was used in that day to describe somebody who had the freedom as a specific citizen of a country or whatever. He had the freedom to say whatever it was he needed to say because he was a member of that country. He was a resident. He was there. He could say what he needed to. Free speech. Now, we have confidence towards God if our heart condemns us not. So, the heart condemnation comes in when there's sin in a Christian's life. God convicts us of our sin and condemns us. If our heart condemns us not, John says, then we have confidence towards God. Or, if I could put it in my terms, we can speak freely before our God. If you got that, say, I got it. Let's read on one more time, and then we're going to wrap all this up. Verse 21 again, beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. Whatsoever, verse 22, we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. Here's what John says to us. When your heart does not condemn you, when there's not this sin in your life that's going to cause you to feel this conviction that comes straight from God because he does not accept what's in our lives and he is unhappy with what's in our lives and he's calling us, his people, to do something about it. Remember, the check engine light's on. He wants you to work on it, not leave it. He don't want you to run away. The check engine light does not mean you got to park the car at a junkyard and abandon it. It doesn't mean that at all. Instead, he's just trying to get your attention so you'll do something. What God's calling you to do. And then when we respond in faith, and by the way, faith is saying, God, I believe what you said. I accept what you said. God, if you say this is unacceptable in my life and you say this is not supposed to be here, I believe you. I'm going to respond to you. And then he says, now instead of condemnation in our hearts, we now have confidence in our hearts. In your life as a Christian, and I'm talking to Christians right now. In your life as a Christian, your relationship with Christ, your growth in your relationship with Christ, your ability to hear and see and understand what Christ is doing in your life, your ability to understand the Scriptures and see what God wants to teach you, your ability to hear the Holy Spirit in your heart and hear Him speaking and directing you, all of those things are affected directly by this confidence. By this confidence. You see, when we're condemned, none of those things are there. They don't work. Something's broke. But in that confidence, we can thrive as believers. You can thrive as a believer. You can hear God speak. You can understand the Word of God as you read it and study it. you can experience the Spirit of God directing and guiding you in your life and helping you in your life on a daily basis. You can be used of God when you have that confidence. And John says, whatever we ask of Him, we'll receive. You can communicate with God. So this morning, the goal for the Christian here is this. Come to the place where I can have that confidence. And by the way, if you don't, He's already told you why, the check engine light's on. And until the check engine light's issue is resolved, you're not going to have it. You're not going to have it. Now, you could get out duct tape, cover it. You could just ignore it and cruise on. That don't work so well, does it, Brother Timothy? That don't work so well. Stranded on the side of the road in Greenville, right? And sitting there looking, struggling on the side of the road. Or you could fix it. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. Christian, don't ignore your check engine light. Now as I close, He said this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son of God. You see, the whole purpose of what Christ came to do was to offer to us the opportunity to believe. He came to us, the Bible says, to save us, to seek and to save that which was lost. The purpose of Christ's death was to offer salvation to you and to me. And this morning, if God speaks to you, if you hear Him inside, you hear something, you're like, what's going on? I feel like there's something going on inside of me and I don't understand it. If you hear His voice, He says, harden not your hearts. If you hear Him, He's calling you to come to Him this morning. If you don't know Christ today, you've never truly been born again. It's the Bible word for it. You've never put your faith and trust in Christ. He's calling you today so He can come in, He can begin to work in your life. But then finally to the Christian again. If the check engine light's on, here's my question to you. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.